Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod. Join us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Alamosa Police Chief George Dingfelder. It's Wednesday, July 8th. Chief, we're coming off the 4th of July weekend. One of the quieter ones in the neighborhood for me, where I live in Alamosa. I don't know how you felt, but it seemed quieter.
Absolutely. So we talked a lot about this. So we took a little bit different enforcement approach this year. One, I mean, obviously anything aerial is illegal in Colorado. You can't have aerial fireworks. But we also took a little bit more aggressive stance, as well as with the sheriff's office. I know with the fire ban being in place and everything, Sheriff Jackson took a really hard no tolerance policy. But I will tell you what really kind of the difference for us this year was, and I'm going to give all the credit where it's due, is with our new fire chief, Frank Worth. He had fire trucks out patrolling. He had firemen out patrolling. So they had different units out patrolling, and they were making contact with that. So it really seemed to help a lot. So much so that we decided already that next year we're going to put a cop and a firefighter together and put them in a vehicle together and go out and do it. So that way, if we need to do some kind of enforcement, then we'll have a law enforcement officer with them to do enforcement. And it actually worked good. I think we made, between the fire department and us, we made 9 contacts with people shooting off fireworks. 7 of them complied. 2 of them, you know, we always try to do everything with education, right? It's never about like immediately write a ticket. Sometimes you do have to do that on certain things. But in this case, it was about education. So they made contact with 9 different people. 7 of them complied, said, sorry, we know better. But they complied and never had to go back there. 2 of them didn't. So they got summonses to court. So now they'll be going through the court process.
That's really interesting, you know, listening to the fire chief strategy and how he was proactive. Does it feel like Alamosa law enforcement, fire, the sheriff, everyone, I guess, in the valley was more proactive this year because of the drought, dryness, et cetera, and that situation?
Yeah, I think that definitely contributed to it. But again, this is the first time that we've had since I've been here and that I've known of that the fire department was actively involved in it. So again, I'm going to give complete credit to Chief Worth on implementing that and we'll only make that better as the years go forward. I thought it was a great strategy. I just wish I would have thought about it so I could take the credit for it. But we'll give the fire department some credit where it's due.
Really good to know that Chief Worth was in the mix on that and how they were involved this 4th of July. I want to go to another topic that Alamosa PD was kind of the focus around at City Council in the month of June. And we're talking about AI technology, yep. The police contract you have with Axon. That's the company, the technology company you use for body cams, vehicle cams, interview and room recording. Yep. Give us some perspective, because as long as I've been following police work, or at least recent, the last 20 years, there's a lot of technology that police, sheriff, law enforcement, where, I mean, you're probably, I would say law enforcement's always been on the tipping end or on the front end of technology advances and how you're using them in law enforcement. So I don't think technology is anything new to you, to police officers, et cetera. But what's changed now? AI, and people are really like against it, whatever. But that was an interesting conversation at City Hall.
Yeah, very much so. So I would say the perception may be that we're at the tip of the spear in technology. I would say we're actually not. I think we're back. I think we're a little bit behind. And we talk about this a lot at different conferences and trainings and stuff like that. Because I will tell you, sometimes the criminals are way more advanced with their technology, and we are always 2 or 3 steps behind. Now, as far as the AI stuff, the program really nothing's changed. This is just to help us write reports. There's still all kinds of checks and balances involved in this new contract that we signed with Axon. We still have the same body cameras that we had for the last 5 or 6 years with Axon, same in-car cameras that we've had with Axon, same evidence, digital evidence storage program that we've had with Axon, same tasers that we've been using with Axon. And I'll just talk a little bit about Axon. This isn't a plug for them in any way. However, I would say 80% of this is a guess, but I think it's a pretty accurate guess. Probably 80% of the country uses Axon. It is by far the most advanced technology in body cameras, tasers and all that. In fact, it's Taser International, right? I mean, they're all over the world. I know like London police, everybody uses them. But their technology is, they are very much at the tip of the spear in law enforcement technology. But again, I would say overall in law enforcement, we use a lot of technology, but we're also behind the times.
It's really interesting that when you say that criminals or the bad guys are two or three steps ahead of law enforcement when it comes to technology, and I'm not sure what to think about that.
So I will tell you why. The criminals don't have to follow laws. They don't have to follow rules. They don't have to, they don't have the ACLU or anybody else dictating how they use technology. So they're always way more advanced than us. I look back when in my years when we used to do drug, I was really big into drug interdiction when I was a new trooper back in the mid 90s with State Patrol. And we were always so far behind on the drug smugglers, the cartels. We were so far behind. They were coming up with new ways to smuggle drugs. This is no different. We're always a few steps behind the criminals when it comes to technology, plain and simple.
Yeah, and I would say you're probably right about that, because when you start bringing up the cartels and how sophisticated I know those operations are, but I don't know, I'm not sure what to think about that when you just said, because my mind is going to everything I'm seeing when it comes to drone warfare, when it comes to other ways that you can create mayhem with people,
right?
And technology is at the front of that. And then I start to wonder, well, how can a police department like Alamosa, a small police department in a small city, I mean, you are at a disadvantage then maybe. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, technology is great, right? And it's very useful. It's very helpful. I'll be the first to say, like the license plate readers, that type of technology is great, because if there's a Amber Alert or if there's a wanted fugitive and they pass one of those license plate readers, we can get an alert to that license plate reader that car just passed that. But
aren't we that's an interesting thing, because we've been hearing a lot recently, right, about the town of Blanca, because they're using a radar as you come into town.
Right.
And they will, they're getting your license plate as you come through, and then they're sending the speeding ticket to the registered owner of that vehicle. And correct, the registered owner of the vehicle may not even be driving. It may be a spouse or a friend or someone. They might not even be driving the car, but they're getting the ticket. And I wonder how that is even legal to ticket someone, speeding ticket, give them, send it in the mail to that car owner, the vehicle registered owner, and that owner may not have even have been in the car. Vehicle.
Yeah,
that's why I wonder about some of that technology.
Yeah, and I would say talking to the wrong guy on that, I would say the state legislators wrote this law that allowed that.
Interesting.
It's 42.4.105 is the statute, and it's a traffic statute that says, same one that we're going to use when we put in our Avis cameras, our speeding cameras, you don't have to, it's goes to the registered owner of the vehicle. It's a state law written by the state legislature.
Interesting. When are you going to do this? Or when is Alamosa PD going to the license plate card technology reader? How are you set up on that? How are you going to do that?
So we are doing the AVIS. AVIS is the automated vehicle identification system as far as like speed enforcement. I'll tell you a funny little story here. I just recently paid a $40 ticket. I was in Denver. I had gone to Denver for a retirement of a FBI agent. That's a buddy of mine. And I was over in the Lowry area, and I stopped at a stop line, then creeped forward to go right, and it gave me a ding ticket.
Wow.
Yeah, $40.
Wow. So where is Alamosa PD then?
Yeah, ours is, we are in, we've selected a vendor. We have to do some permitting with CDOT for 6th Street and Main Street. So we're going to put in four. We're going to put one on South Craft. We've done traffic studies. We're going to put one on South Craft, just south of 1st Street there on Craft, just south of the car dealer.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to put one on South State here.
Uh-huh.
Down... around Prince Sam Place down there. We're going to put one there. And then we're putting one on 6th Street eastbound, and then one westbound. And so...
What's your goal there? What is, when you implement that and you establish where you're putting these license plate readers, what is your goal or what is the strategy for Alamosa PD that wants you to do that? What are you trying to do there?
Yeah, so I will tell you, like, I'll give you State Street, for example, right? I mean, we get tons of complaints about speeders on State Street. I mean, you work here off State, Chris, and live here and mm-hmm. all that. You know that State Street is, it can be a thoroughway, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just speeding. So that's to slow that down in those residential areas. Main Street from basically... from Denver all the way out to Cielo Azul out at Walmart. I mean, as well as 6th Street and that's where we get the majority of our crashes. We cover a lot of crashes on that. I mean, it's US 160, right?
Yeah.
And the speeding, and those are pedestrian zones, one, to prevent crashes. And two, if there are crashes, that they're much lower speed crashes, because we've done the traffic studies. I didn't bring the numbers with me, but I think I've
since No, we've looked at those. Yeah. I'm going to take a break.
Okay.
Because it gives me a chance to think of some questions, because I want to keep this conversation going about the technology
and AI,
the cameras that you're bringing in, et cetera. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. CHFA supports Colorado home ownership and works with a statewide network of lenders. Visit chfainfo.com/your home. CHFA is an equal housing lender.
The heart of the Cumbersan Toltec Scenic Railroad is in the fine people of Chama, New Mexico, Antonito, Colorado, and the surrounding communities who have supported our railroads for generations. To show our appreciation, we offer a 50% discount to locals who live within an 80-mile drive distance of either Chama or Antonito on All Aboard Chama Excursions, All Aboard Antonito Excursions, Chama Limited, Antonito Unlimited, and Cumbres Express. This discount is valid on coach class seating only and cannot be applied online. This offer is valid for excursions between August 19th and August 31st. Please call our reservations line at 1-888-286-2737 to book.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Alamosa Police Chief George Dingfelder. We're talking about technology. We're talking about what Alamosa Police is doing. We talked about the Axon contract that City Council approved back in June. We're talking about now the license plate reader technology that Alamosa PD is going to put in place. And when I think about Chief, we talked about Blanca, which is doing that. But if I'm just going to imagine, if you're a motorist or anyone just moving through the valley, there's cameras got to be everywhere. When you talk about Colorado Highway Patrol, you worked for Colorado Highway Patrol, you ran it here in the valley, et cetera. But when I think of local police, the sheriff, highway patrol, I'm just going to imagine, and I take the assumption as a motorist, that there's cameras everywhere. And if I'm speeding, whatever, I'm probably going to get caught at this point in time because you got these license plate readers. I don't know. It just seems like cameras are going to be everywhere or are everywhere right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just from my background, I kind of a little bit limited government. I think their government can definitely have its overreach without a doubt. But I will tell you the safeguards with all the cameras and stuff that are in place. We have so many rules and laws that we have to follow with all of this technology, whether it's like the Axon contract, using that in AI, as well as then like these speed cameras stuck. In fact, just right before I came over here, I was talking with our city attorney and we were talking about some of the limits specifically that this this AVIS law, this traffic one, the 424-105, it does limit. We can only use it specifically if a violation is being is occurring. We can't go back and search that for just to say, oh, Chris's car passed by here. We're not allowed to go search it. In fact, the system isn't even going to capture anything unless it's a speeding violation. It's not going to catch a registration violation. It's not going to catch a weaving violation. The law doesn't allow it to do that, as well as the technology is not going to do it. They've got safeguards in place.
Help us understand then, Chief, when you're capturing my license plate as I speed through an intersection and now you have that, where does that data go from there in terms of can you share that with other law enforcement, with highway patrol? You talked about, well, now I know if this guy's going down the road, someone might alert me that that's someone we're looking for. I don't know. How does that work?
So the AVIS cameras, the speed cameras, no, it's our data. We signed a contract with a company called Ultimate, which is the same company that there's several municipalities in Colorado that are using them, Durango being one. So it's our data. It doesn't get shared with anybody. Wherever their database or whatever is, their storage, but it's our data. We're the only ones and we don't share it. And it's, like I said, the law only allows it to use it for a speeding violation. Eric Schweishel, our city attorney, were just talking about this. Like, could it be used for, like, Chris is weaving down the road and then two blocks down the street, he gets in a crash? Can't do it. It will only capture if you're speeding. If you're not speeding, it doesn't capture you.
Okay. I'm there with that, but I'm also knowing that that data is going to get stored somewhere in a cloud.
Correct.
Somewhere.
Absolutely.
And we started the conversation about how criminals are a couple steps ahead. So now I'm imagining that someone can hack into that cloud network and capture whatever data, and then they have license registrations, information. I'm thinking like a criminal.
Yeah,
now,
absolutely.
Chief, because it's not like it's impossible to hack into things. We hack and get in all the time. And the city is always protecting against hackers. Every agency is protecting against hackers, right? That's where I start to wonder, well.
Yeah, no, and you know what? That's fair. And I think we worry about that with any of our data, right? I mean, as we're sitting here talking,
right?
We have all the data right here in our hand and our cell phones, right? Pretty much our lives are on this cell phone, but hopefully that we have the right safeguards. And I can tell you with this system, specifically the AVIS system, we have to meet certain criteria because that's also going to be accessing like DMV databases and stuff like that. And it's called CJIS, the Criminal Justice Information System. There's very strict rules, and our IT department's actively involved in this, to the safeguards, the firewalls, to make sure that nobody can hack into it, as well as the company. I mean, there's so many rules and safeguards that are in place. Again, I personally don't think is you can put all the safeguards in the world. There's some criminal out there. Yeah. There's some hacker out there that is working on that, just like your phone, right? Like,
I just think that you're right, that those of us, I mean, we're railing against technology, we're railing against AI, we're railing against databases, et cetera. And for me, it's like we gave up those things a long time
ago.
Our privacy, because technology is everywhere. The government has technology everywhere. I just don't think we live in a world where there's a lot of personal privacy. But we selected that, chose that, or are choosing that ourselves as individuals. That's just my take on that. I want to move away from technology to another topic that's coming up, and I don't know if you want to weigh in on this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Should the 12th Judicial District Attorney's Office have term limits or no term limits for the DA's office, Chief?
Yeah, we kind of hit on this last time I was here, like a month or so
ago. And it's going to be on the November ballot now, because every county commission has now approved it to be on the ballot. So that's what I ask again, because it's coming back. It's going to be a topic that voters in each of the six counties in the Valley get to weigh in on this November.
Yeah, so the argument has been, right? I mean, we've had two extremes in DAs in the last two district attorneys, right? I mean, we, you know, unfortunately went through what we did under the previous administration, and then DA Kelly is doing doing an exceptionally well job. So as far as that, I think it's exactly where it needs to be to let the voters of the San Luis Valley decide that, without a doubt. That's who needs to decide that. Do I support it? I do, because even if you've got a bad DA, the voters can, you don't have to reelect that person. I think that's with any elected position, right? I think if you don't like the person, then vote them out. I know, you know, when you get on the national level, I do feel at the national level, going to contradict myself, right? At the national level, I do think there should be term limits, but I'm not going to go down that. And that a lot of them get elected because it's just the money. It's who has the most money. But at the end of the day, I do think that we should lift the term limits on the district attorney and allow the voters to make that decision.
Interesting. That's going to be an interesting debate and topic as we go into the November election. So, Chief, I wanted to plug Coach Gales. I wanted to plug the July 24th Adams State Football Banquet, First and Goal. It's at Plocky Hall Fieldhouse. And then the Jeff Geiser Golf Tournament, July 25th for Adams State Football. We're moving into that time of year. We got a little bit more summer, though, quite a bit more summer. I always want to ask you, anything else within Alamosa PD that you want to note? I know you talked before we got on the air about the last clearance of your last homicide case.
Yep.
Anything else, Chief, before we let you go that you can fill us in on around Alamosa PD and what you guys are doing? Last time you, the great thing about you every time you come in is you give us some really interesting nuggets about things that happened within law enforcement and your team, some of the major busts that you do with fentanyl, things like that. And I just wonder where things are overall as we go through the rest of the summer.
Yeah, I think, you know, we continue to see a reduction of a violent crime in the city. I just looked at stats yesterday on our property crimes, the thefts and all that kind of stuff is down. I don't remember the percentage, but they're down this year compared to the same time last year. So we continue to trend in the right direction with overall crime, you know, and I give a lot of credit to some of the ordinances that we've passed on some of this stuff, as well as then just the work that's being done by the officers and then our prosecutors. I think the prosecution stuff helps a lot. You know, having a good DA as well as a good city prosecutor that, they, you know, trying to hold people accountable where they need to be held accountable. But again, I would much prefer to do this job through education and compliance versus enforcement. But, you know, when we need to take enforcement, we're going to take enforcement. But overall, I mean, the summer's been going good. We've
Do the wildfires that we're seeing, does municipal PD pay attention to those things? That's what I was curious about. Do you pay attention to the fires around, or is that something that's on your radar in case of?
Yeah, I think, especially with my background, I spent many years with State Patrol working some of these large fires, Durango, Montrose, different places of the state, the Spring Creek fire out here in Fort Garland. So I specifically pay a lot of attention to those, because if they do put out a call for assistance, you know, like if law enforcement needs assistance for in securing a huge area, you see the National Guard just went into to the Aspen Acres fire, yep, to help. So that freed up the local resources there. I mean, if something like that happened here, and in fact, it did in 2013, right? 2018 with the Spring Creek fire out here. A lot of the local agencies initially stepped up that initial push to secure those areas, to secure those roads. I believe Alamosa PD at the time, I was still with State Patrol in 2018, but we had sheriff's offices, we had police departments securing some of those roads so the firefighters could go in and to keep the looky-loos and stuff out of there. So I absolutely pay attention to that. If Sheriff Lucero put out the call up there that they needed more law enforcement, we would sure look at it, and if we could support it and send some officers over there to help Pueblo County, we would absolutely do that.
Yeah, and we know that there has been help that has been offered up in Pueblo County that's coming out of the valley. Billy, appreciate catching up with you, Chief. Appreciate it. Good to see you, and wish you all the best the rest of the summer.
Right on. Thanks, Chris.
You've been listening to The Valley Pod in our episode with Alamosa Police Chief George Dingfelder. The Valley Pod is presented by Coombers and Toltec Scenic Railroad, the Lohr Foundation, and Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. This episode of The Valley Pod is produced by Chris Mondragon. We'll see you around the valley.
Looking for the freshest food in the valley? Introducing the new SLB Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit alamosacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the valley.